God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be to you. This happy Thanksgiving from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My country, 'tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I sing. Land where my fathers died, land of the pilgrim's pride. From every mountainside let freedom ring. Today is Thanksgiving, but it's not just Thanksgiving. It's a day of national Thanksgiving, a public holiday set aside by our government for our people to give thanks to God for His blessings and provision to us. Now, that might sound kind of strange to us today, that our government would set aside a day of thanksgiving to God, because we always hear these days about a separation of church and state, separation of church and state, separation of church and state, and yet this is has great heritage and tradition and practice from early America of giving thanksgiving to God as a people, as a nation, as a country. The settlers in Jamestown did this. The pilgrims at Plymouth did this. The Puritans did this. George Washington, as President of the United States, gave a public proclamation, the Day of Thanksgiving as a nation to God, in 1789. Governor Thomas Jefferson in 1779 proclaimed a Day of Thanksgiving. And our present practice of practicing it on the fourth Thursday of November comes from 1863, Abraham Lincoln. And we've been practicing this national day of thanksgiving to God for His blessings and provision to us ever since on the fourth Thursday. So I want to ask this question. Is it good for us to do that, to pray for our country and to give thanks for it and its leaders? Because after all, we're Christians, and we know that we have a heavenly country. We have a heavenly king, and we serve him where our allegiance is to him. Is it right for us then to pray for our earthly country, our earthly leaders as well, even though some of them be ungodly? Well, let's take a look. In 1 Timothy 2, what God says to us, he says, first of all, I urge that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgivings be made for all men, for kings, and all who are in high positions, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life, godly and respectable in every way, respectful in every way. This is good, and it is acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. So it is good, it's acceptable, it's right in God's eyes for us to pray for America, for our country, the land where He placed us to be born, a lot of us, and to live. We ought to be praying for it. Now, that may seem a little difficult, like we say, well, America's got so many problems today, what should we give thanks for our country, for our land, for our country? I'll tell you, I believe we have a lot, plenty to give thanks to God for today concerning our country and to pray for. Let me share some of those thoughts. First of all, I would like to thank God today for the biblical heritage and the faith of our Christian forefathers in this country, especially the colonialists, the early Americans. Now, you hear a lot today of people saying, all the early Americans were just a bunch of ruffians, or they were imperialists, they were deists, they were atheists. And sure, there was a mix. There's always been the good and the bad and the ugly in America. But I remember going to Plymouth Plantation as a little boy. We'd do it every Thanksgiving. It's a period village where you go to the remake of the Pilgrim's Fort, and everybody's dressed up, all the actors are dressed as pilgrims, and they don't know anything beyond 1625 or so when you ask them questions. The Indians are dressed up as Indians. And when I grew up, the emphasis was on, you know, as I remember at least, Christianity, that they came for freedom of worship to the new land and to spread the Christian faith. I went there a couple years ago with my family, and now as you enter the village, before you get there, you go through a little movie section before you enter the village, and now it's all about the Indians and how good and pleasant and wonderful it was before the white imperialists came and how terrible it was after they got here. And that's pretty much the mood in our country today. But you know what? I wasn't there, but the critics weren't there either. I think we should look at what the pilgrims actually said to see what they said about why they came. The Mayflower Compact, their first governing document of the Plymouth Colony, those that came over, the pilgrims on the Mayflower, November 11th, 1620, wrote, in Provincetown Harbor, in the name of God, amen. Sounds pretty religious already. They say, we whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of our dread sovereign Lord King James, by the grace of God of Great Britain, France, Ireland, King Defender of the Faith, having undertaken for the glory of God and for the advancements of the Christian faith in honor of our king and country, a voyage to plant the first colony, etc. So why, according to the pilgrims, did they come here? For the honor of their king and for the glory of God and for the advancements of the Christian faith. That's why they arrived in America. So we have their Christian influence. We have the Puritans, Congregationalists, Methodists, Lutherans, Presbyterians, Anglicans. In America, not saying they're all Christian, but Christianity had a huge influence on early America. In fact, so great was the influence that the British blamed the American War of Independence on Christianity, upon the church, upon the preachers. They called them the Black Robe Regiment, the people that wore the black cassocks in those days and preached from the pulpit. They said it was their fault that we have the American Revolution, because they've been preaching about these liberties and these God-given gifts from their Bibles since 1763. So at least for the British, they believed that Christianity had a lot to do with the foundings of our country. And so I want to say today, I am thankful that I'm part of a country that has Christianity in its original elements, in its original ingredients mixed into this great land. Now, I'm not saying we're altogether a Christian nation, or we've all had all Christians all times. We've had the good, the bad, and the ugly. Some things we've been done have been right. Other things have been wrong. But what I'm saying is Christianity had a big influence on our land, and we really ought to be thankful to God for that today, because not many countries, in fact, there's hardly a country in the world that has such a blessing in this kind of way. Now, how influential was Christianity on the early parts of America? There's a lot of debate on this. People say, ooh, the U.S. Constitution people and the Declaration of Independence, they were deists, they were imperialists, they were atheists, they were secular humanists. And usually the people that say that are atheists and secular humanists, right? But others say that 50 or so of the 55 signers of the U.S. Constitution were Christians. Now, I'm not here to judge their faith, whether or not who exactly what they were. That's very difficult. But what I can do is look at their writings. And there was a 10-year study done by the University of Houston. They looked at 15,000 documents of our founding fathers, and they found that 34% of all quotations that they, if they quoted anything, 34% came straight out of the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments of the Holy Bible. So definitely Christianity was a huge influence on our founding fathers, and I'm thankful today for the great heritage that we have for that. Look at the Declaration of Independence. It says this: we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they're endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Into the inception, into the ingredients, into the founding elements of our country are these ideas, that there is such a thing as moral truth, these truths to be self-evident. If you don't get it, you've got to be totally blind as a bat. That all men are created equal. We didn't come from apes. We weren't evolved. That we were created. And that we have a creator, a God who made us and upon whom we depend for everything. And that we have rights that are given to us from him. It comes from God, not from us, not from our group, but from God. And among these are, and these are very Christian, life. The whole Bible is about giving us life, eternal life through Jesus Christ. Life is a major theme. Liberty. God's here to give us liberty in the scriptures, but we want that reflected also in the civil government, they said, and in the pursuit of happiness, which of course in those days meant knowledge and wisdom, not following just your passions and pleasures. So we have it into the very fabric of our country. Are you thankful for that today? Think of these words. Patrick Henry, this isn't totally verified, but it's most people say this is his words. Say this: it cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians. Not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Then you go to this is verified, Justice Joseph Story. This is a guy who was on the American Supreme Court. He was the founder of Harvard Law School, father of American jurisprudence. He wrote a 3-volume commentary on the Constitution of the United States, 1833. And you want to hear what he said? Wouldn't you love to have a Supreme Court judge saying this today? One of the most beautiful boasts of our municipal jurisprudence is that Christianity is part of the common law. There never has been a period in which the common law did not recognize Christianity as lying at its foundations. Isn't that cool? Wouldn't we love that? In 1852 and 3, the House Judiciary Committee said, had the people during the Revolution had a suspicion of any attempt to war against Christianity, the Revolution would have been strangled in its cradle. At the time, the adoption of the Constitution and the amendments, the universal sentiment was that Christianity should be encouraged, just not any one sect or denomination. I'm so thankful today because our founding fathers in our country had been to Europe or understood Europe. They had seen what it was like when a government persecuted the church. They didn't want that. They also saw what it was like when a church ran the government and the corruption it got into. They didn't want that. They wanted a balance and a separation between church and state where they worked together mutually and encouraging each other as friends. That's why taxes, like we get tax-free status. That's why I get a break in my taxes as a pastor. That's why we have the freedom of speech, that the government's not going to say we can't go out and preach Jesus Christ and the gospel, that we have freedom of assembly. You can all come here this Thursday morning and gather here, and the government's not going to put his hand in and say, you can't do this. These were all written into our country, and I think this is just fabulous. Look at the U.S. Constitution. Ben Franklin, when they were getting together, they had 5 weeks, they couldn't decide anything. They were totally confused. They had no agreement about a constitution. Then he said this, Ben Franklin, in this situation of this assembly, groping as it were in the dark to find political truth, scarce able to distinguish it when presented to us, how has it happened, sir? He was addressing George Washington, that we have not hitherto once thought of humbly applying to the Father of Lights to illuminate our understandings. In the beginning of the contest with Great Britain, we were sensible of danger. We had daily prayer in this room for the divine protection. Our prayers, sir, were heard and graciously answered, and all of us who were engaged in the struggle must have observed frequent instances of a superintending providence in our favor. I have lived, sir, a long time, and the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. Watch the scripture references here. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire should rise without his aid? Quoting Jesus in the New Testament. We've been assured, sir, in the sacred writings that except the Lord build a house, they that build it labor in vain. Psalm 127. I firmly believe this, and I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel, referring to the Old Testament. I therefore beg leave to move that henceforth prayers, which is scripture, imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessings on our deliberations be held in the assembly every morning before we proceed the business, etc. And to this day, whenever Congress meets, as godless as many of them are, they have still in this tradition and heritage a prayer before they begin, invoking the blessings and dependence and acknowledging their dependence upon God Almighty. Do you know what a blessing it is for us to live in a country like this? Have you thought about that today? I know a lot of us have got a bad taste in our mouth about where America's going or what it's doing, but we have a great heritage for which we should be extremely thankful to God. If you want to see what it looks like without having God as the foundation of our country, look at the French Revolution, which took place just after ours, 1789 to 99. They believed in liberty, equality, and fraternity. But who is at the head? Not God. They actually destroyed churches, desecrated them, and killed thousands of priests. Rather, they believe man was at the top. Man is sovereign. Your rights come not from God, but from a group. And what happened? 40,000 people were killed. In 1 year, from 1793 to 4, 2,625 people were executed, beheaded by the guillotine. They desecrated the Notre Dame Cathedral and set up Lady Liberty, which was a prostitute actress that they put a candle in her hand and said, here's the goddess. And if you start a country based upon man and not leaning on God, that's what you get. is bloodshed. Whereas you go back over to America, and what have we seen? Among our bumps along the road, we've had peace, we've been prosperous, and we're the oldest democratic government on earth. Why? Because we're a Christian nation? Well, we got the good, bad, and the ugly. But we have many principles of Christianity influencing our government. We have a strong Christian nation, the church, in our country. And that, I believe, is the foundations of the blessings which we have in our country. When God took Abraham, he was going to go destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. God spared Sodom and Gomorrah for 10 righteous people in that city. God is taking care of our country because of the Christians who are in it. So I'm thankful that we have a government that is founded upon many principles of Christianity. I also want to thank God today for this, that he has blessed our nation to grow and have success in war. Do you know that if you go back to the American Revolution, we were almost snuffed out and crushed instantly before we got started? George Washington, on August 27, 1776, was backed up to Long Island against the East River, 30,000 British forces ready to finish him off in an hour or two, but darkness fell. They kept their fires lit. Meanwhile, Admiral Howe was sailing up the river to cut them off with 10 frigates, British frigates, and 20 gunboats and sloops. And Washington was able to evacuate in 9 hours, 9,000 men and their supplies and cannon from out from under the noses of the British. It was only because the winds were against the British that we were saved. And the next morning, a fog rolled in, such that it gave us a few more hours to evacuate the last of our troops. And when the British finally saw what was going on and they charged our battlements, they came to the shore the foggy morn, and the last thing they saw was a boat leaving and George Washington standing there and disappeared into the mist. Do you know, we're only here today because of a wind direction and a little piece of fog in a few hours? Well, I think this is God blessing our country. As corrupt as we've been, God has blessed us. Go to the War of 1812 a few years later. After our defeat at Blandensburg, the British came in and burned Washington, D.C. They burned White House, Capitol Building, Library of Congress, the U.S. Treasury, Washington Navy Yard. And after this great victory, and Washington is going up in flames, and you could see it as far away as Baltimore, what happened? A hurricane happened to descend on Washington at the very hour, and the drenching rains put out all of the fires and wreaked such havoc on the British regiments that they had more damage than from fighting the Americans the day before, and they left Washington bemused, bedraggled, befuddled, and a defeated army. God has taken care of us. God has taken care of us at the Fort McHenry in the Battle of Baltimore. 19 ships pounded the fort with 1,500 to 1,800 cannonballs. The shells penetrated into the fort's magazine with all the gunpowder, but failed to detonate. If it had detonated that one cannonball, we wouldn't be here today, because we'd have been taken over by the British once again. And so I think we have a lot to thank God for. The abolishment of slavery, World War I, World War II, the strongest military, that our government is there to protect our liberties. If you live in another country in the world today, the police are after you. They'll come in and take your wife and your daughter, rape them and take them away. They can search and seize your property. They will tax Christians extra if you're in a Muslim country. But our founding fathers wanted a partnership, wanted friendship between government and the church. Government not running the church, church not running the government, but both of them working together as friends. And so we have freedom of religion, freedom of the press, freedom of the speech, free assembly, right to bear arms, due process, trial by a jury, speedy trial. We have limited power of government. We have checks and balances because we believe man is sinful. We can go wherever we want. We don't have to tell the state or the government that, hey, I'm going to go from Wisconsin down to California. People from other countries can't believe that we can just move. We can do whatever we want. We can be all that we can be. And I believe these are blessings that God has given to us, for which we often forget, and for which we ought to give thanks to God today, and also great prayer. There's much to be thankful for. Because we need to remember something, that we need to remember where our liberties come from. We need to remember where our prosperity and our blessings come from. And we've got a lot of people in America today that are trying to rewrite history and turn the American Revolution into the French Revolution and get rid of God, get rid of, make it a secular, godless government, which was never our founding fathers' intention. And what is it going to lead to? The same thing that happened in France. Blood and destruction. The undermining of family values, the corruption of morals of our youth. Take away the free speech of a graduating senior so that they can't even mention God or Jesus Christ and the rights that they have in free speech. We ought to remember the words of Franklin. If a man, unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. If we don't have God, we're going to succeed no better than the builders of Babel. And John Jay, the first Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of the United States, said, "Providence has given to our people the choice of their rulers, and it's the duty, as well as the privilege and interest of our Christian nation, to select and prefer Christians for their rulers." John Jay, Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. So what am I saying to you today? I know we haven't done a lot of scripture like we normally do here, but what I'm saying to you today is this. Today is not just about football. It's not just about turkeys and eating. Today is a day, a national day of thanksgiving. It's good and acceptable and right in God's sight for us to give thanks to God for our nation and to pray for our nation and to resolve today to work as to be good citizens of our country and promote good things. For righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And perhaps all those people that are trying to tear God out of the government should remember that for the 10 righteous that were in the city, God spared Sodom and Gomorrah. And maybe they should thank God and fall on their knees and thank him for the Christian church that's in America, that's preserving their lives and their freedom and keeping God's blessed hand upon us, even when we've done so many terrible things in terms of morals, etc. For God says, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I'll hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." Perhaps you've come to the kingdom for just such a time as this. So as we rejoice today that we are citizens of heaven, of a better country, we have a true life, eternal life, we have true liberty, freedom from sins through Jesus Christ, and we have true pursuit of happiness, namely, everlasting joy shall crown their heads. Maybe at the same time as that, God wants us to remember that we're also made by him citizens of America, of this land in which we live, and he wants us to bless, pray for, thank him for, and work for our country. Conclude with this. Our Father's God, to the author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God, our King. Amen.